Of the classics with a twist. Join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos, Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
And I have a very mixed selection for you.
Tune in Sundays from 9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host, Doran, for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
We will see our children grow,
and theirs grow after them.
For 50 years we awaited the future with a mounting sense of fear. Our path to the next millennium seemed certain to be lit by the bright lights
of a nuclear conflagration.
But now, as we raise our eyes, we see that we have almost made it
to the year 2000 and beyond.
Hi, hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Transcendence. I'm your host, DJ Smiley Mike, and with me in the studio this week is
DJ Juicebox.
Welcome.
Hi.
Super glad to have you here.
Super glad to be here.
So we've been on the dance floor together. I've heard you play. You've heard me play. Seems like this is way overdue. And it sounds to me, I don't know, I was reading somewhere, and you started out on community radio.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, my first DJ experience was doing a radio show at Simon Fraser University on CJSF. It was running from about May 2004 until around July 2006, and it was a Thursday night weekly show for an hour. So,
and what style of music?
It was actually predominantly EBM, industrial sort of synth pop sort of music. I was spending a lot of time at the goth industrial nights and fetish nights in Vancouver at that time, and I was, you know, I was still going to the Psytrance night. Like, I started both of them together in 2001, about a month apart. I started going to Organics and I started going to Sanctuary. And Psytrance took a long time for me to really get into. But when I got into it, I kind of got into it full throttle. So it was really, you know, I mean, there was a few, I wouldn't say that I lost interest in industrial music. It was just that there was a certain point where I was listening to so much Infected Mushroom, and I had some really influential Psytrance DJs that were feeding me the music and the labels that they were listening to, and that just really like took off. And we'd go in on buying music Psytrance together from Japan, and we would talk about stuff in a really sort of esoteric kind of way. And then I was like, okay, wait a minute, you know, I think I actually really do like this genre, and I think that what I want to play is not really popular among the DJs, so, but yet popular among the crowd, which can kind of make a lot of people happy and a lot of people mad at the same time, right? You know, like DJs always want to, you know, pick the most obscure stuff or stuff that people haven't heard to, you know, get people into it. But at the same time, my interest was just making people happy and trying to find an audio medium for my personality. And that just happened to be some of the more, what my friends would call the more poppier Psytrance. But, you know, I didn't necessarily see a problem with that because those were the tracks that people recognize. Those were the tracks that people just go nuts for on the dance floor. And it was something that I could build a set around really easily. So
it's almost funny thinking about any, like, the more poppy or popular types of Psytrance, like, anything in the psychedelic trance genre being too popular,
exactly,
or too mainstream.
I know, right? Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's like, yeah, it's too popular among a very, very tiny niche, right? And so, you know, I didn't really think that there was any way that you could alienate yourself in the psytrance scene unless you were just failing to beat match, or you were like mixing songs in terribly or something, or you were just being a jerk and nobody wanted to book you, you know. But there's so many different levels of people, you know, getting really attached to their tracks and really getting attached to, you know, bringing in the most obscure stuff. And so you just but I guess that's kind of along in all DJing in all genres.
Well,
you know,
I certainly remember it sort of being that way, although now, like, as electronic music and festivals and all that stuff has kind of become more popular and more mainstream, it kind of feels like it's lost some of that, where now, like, not so much at the psychedelic trance shows, but at, like, the larger sort of mainstream electronic events in the city, that if they're not playing the big tracks by the big names, then it just doesn't go over quite as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think now, especially not just in Vancouver, but really all over the world, that electronic music is starting to become more accepted now, especially than it was when I got into it in 2001, you know. But also North America, I find, has been really behind the times too compared to Australia or Europe as far as electronic music being accepted in mainstream society, you know, like.
So what were some of the first artists that sort of caught your attention and when you were first getting into it?
Definitely Infected Mushroom was probably the first one that I recognized as being distinct, because if you haven't tuned your ear to Psytrance, it just kind of all sounds very similar, you know. And Infected Mushroom was probably one of the first artists where I was like, I recognize that. I know what that is. Even if I didn't know the track, I knew the style because Infected Mushroom, as far as their how they started, the guy that does most of the music composition, he's trained in classical music. So he actually, the sophistication of their melodies was beyond what the technology made available to them. You know, they weren't just throwing in like crazy bleeps and bloops and like, whoa, there's that crazy trippy shit and here's this sample from Terrence McKenna. Like, it wasn't just, you know, weird stuff. They were doing the weird stuff, but they also really made it melody driven, and that's what caught my attention. Was like, I actually, you know, I could sit there and sing, you know, songs from the first or second album, and just because I still remember the melodies to this day, you know. And so, you know, as they got more popular, unfortunately for the diehard Psytrance fans or the diehard Infected Mushroom fans, they became quite sad and disillusioned with what Infected Mushroom was doing, because now there's a 5-person band, and they're, you know, they're touring all around the world, and they're very well known among people who aren't into Psytrance. And so, you know, but either way, they were still very influential to me, and I still love their, you know, their first 5 or 6 albums, you know. Who else was influential? I would say GMS was really influential to me. And Talamasca also was very influential to me. I think those three, you know, were really distinct and really caught my attention, you know, so.
And what about now, as a bit of time has passed, how have your taste or your style, has it evolved a little bit, or are there different artists? Has it not evolved, but even just changed, right, and as to what you're interested in?
I wouldn't really say that my music tastes really changed. I think it was more just my ability to not just mix or to, you know, decide which tracks went together, but I think just overall my technical ability improved. I would say that the music that I like is probably still the same. I mean, maybe, I really used to like, when I started playing out in public, it was in 2007, and I really, really liked a lot of cheesy melodic psytrance. And I think now I like more melodic but aggressive psytrance at the same time, like something that still has a really kind of driving